Well, good morning. About 3 o'clock this morning, I was tempted just to find a video about worship and put it on while I just went and sat at the back and had a sleep. The floor is cold, especially when you forget to put cardboard underneath you. And sorry, this is slightly off topic as well, but when we go camping, I don't use a sleeping bag. We realise we're sort of like upper middle class now. We take a king-size duvet with us. So when I looked, panicking at the last minute, and it said that you had to take a sleeping bag, the only sleeping bag we had available was Lucy or James's. So there was me in a child-size sleeping bag, which was not good, on a cold floor, and every time I needed to turn, I had to unzip the sleeping bag to turn round and then try and figure where the hand was to pull it back up. So, yeah. So very little sleep is definitely on the cards. But worship. Wow. I was struggling really to try and think of what we can bring about worship that hasn't already been said. So I want us just to take a moment. I want to start with Psalm 46, verse 10. And it simply says, "Be still and know that I am God." I just want to start with that part, that stillness, that slowing ourselves down from the excitement of sleeping in a slum or not really sleeping in a slum, from the busyness of the Grand National that's gone on, from the busyness of everyday life, from the busyness of this morning, trying to get to church and maybe sorting dinner out beforehand. Let's just be still. While I was preparing this talk, I was Googling everything, because that's what we do these days. We Google, we try and fact find, we try and get a new slant on everything. I was asking God where he wants me to take the talk, and then trying to find out what is out there, what do people see as worship? And what struck me was, I was watching one video and I was going to show it, but I decided against it, and it was a person talking about worship, and it was back from the 80s, and he said he remembers watching a Michael Jackson, of all people, but a Michael Jackson concert, and in this concert, this arena was sold out. There was no room on the pitch, there was no room in the stands, it was sold out, and everybody was screaming, "Michael!" I'm assuming they waved their hand. You couldn't tell there was that many people. But let's go with that. Okay, they were all screaming after him. And then the camera pans from on stage to the front row of it. And you can see, and I'm sure there was boys there as well. But let's just go with what I saw, okay? A load of screaming girls. "Ah, Michael, we love you, Michael." I was surprised my voice went that high. But anyway, so he went, they were all screaming after him. They were singing his songs. They were shouting after his name. There was people falling over and the security guards having to get them out. And the man turned around and said, "That's worship." They were worshiping Michael. They made Michael into this idol, into this god. And the more I thought about this, Michael Jackson was never interested in that person in the front row. He had no love or investment in that person in the second row. If that person on the third row that was getting pushed across the top to get to the barrier was sick, he wasn't going to stop the concert and go down and go, "Are you okay?" He had no investment in them. But yet we take worship so lightly in a God that has invested everything in for us. That when you sit there and cry out, "God, times are tough," he stops and listens. That when you are ill and you cry out, "God, I need a touch from you," or "I need a touch from my neighbor," he stops and he listens. And yet we hold back in worship. And then that made me think about Liverpool Football Club. I would think about Everton, but I was trying to stop the bias, so let's say Manchester United or Man City as well, although they are packed to the rafters. 60, 70, 80,000 people every week. Men alone, especially standing there, scarves held high, declaring who they will follow, declaring who they are, who they support. The players have their own songs for them. They're worshipping these people. But yet, there is no investment. And God was really revealing to me that it's time for the church to change. It was time for worship within the building to change. Sadly, across the country and across the world, there is people that won't go to church because they don't like the songs that they sing, so they'll find another church. There is people that won't go to church some Sundays because they think, oh, who's leading worship this week? Oh, no, I don't like the way they play the guitar, or they're a really loud drummer. Okay? I've had no complaints, but I've realised I am getting quite loud. But they won't come to church because they're put off by that. That's a sad, sad place for the church to be. Because as we've talked about previously, and you all know, worship isn't just about the songs we sing. Worship is a lifestyle. I want to pause on that. Worship is a lifestyle. It's not just about coming and having a seat and enjoying the songs and then going back out and that's it. I believe God wants us to realize for the church, we need to go deeper into worship with him. And the way we do that is by realizing that everything we do should be done in worship. In worship to who God is. Not because what God can do, but because God is God. And there's no two ways about that. So we've looked at the slums this weekend and I was challenged over that. Because we were talking about helping others. Across the world, across the country, and then we hit home. Aintree Village, McGull, Kirby, Crosby, wherever we're from across the Borough Merseyside, there is poverty. And God says, feed the hungry, help the homeless, clothe those who are cold. This is all acts of worship. And we need to get into that mindset that every day, everything we do should be done from a position of, God, I just want to bless somebody because I know that you have blessed me. And as we come into that fulfillment of that's what God is and that's what worship is, I believe we will take a step closer to the heart of God for worship. It's about not looking at what I can get from this. And unfortunately, the society now is very good at catching someone doing a good deed. Every good deed seems to be caught on a mobile phone somewhere. Which for me sort of takes away from the good deed that you're doing, because some people want to do that in private. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I'm sure we all know it. I urge you therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, both holy and spotless, as this is your reasonable. Not perfect, not complete. You're reasonable. This is like the lowest we can do. Our reasonable act of worship. And what struck me about this was, it's the I urge you. It doesn't say, okay guys, what I want you to do is offer your bodies as a sacrifice. It's I urge you. It's that urgency that we need to be doing something more. In the Old Testament, sacrifice was given to allow people to draw close to God. Sacrifice had to be done so mankind could meet with God. And now in this verse, it brings us back to that sacrifice. It's a living sacrifice. We have to sacrifice who we are in order to get to that place of worship. We need to be doing this daily. When I was sitting down before, I don't know where it came from, but you know, sorry, Sue, I was listening when you were getting brought prayed in as well. But God just reminded me of the walls of Jericho. Who was at the front? The worshippers. Now, I've always pictured it, and it was always me picturing it, of a big music band going along, all the great singers from the church, they are the worship group, they can go forward. Well, actually, if worship's a lifestyle and we know who God is through that and we are living that sacrificial, then it's not about the music. It's about those who know who God is and want to see God do something amazing. Yeah. That's what worship is. Across the church today, unfortunately, I feel there's people who come to church just because that's what you do on a Sunday. They just sing the songs because that's what we just do. They've lost their spark of who God is and what worship is about. And you see in Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, God warns us about this. This is taken where Jesus and the Pharisees and the teachers are talking about obedience, where they pull Jesus up saying, well, your disciples haven't washed their hands, and they're talking about traditions that are coming on. And then Jesus says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. And I believe that's what God was saying. The whole urgency, the whole living sacrifice is to stop us falling into this part where we just come to keep a seat warm on a Sunday, because that's what I've done since I was 4 or 5. I think God wants to take us to a place where we can understand who he is, where we can enter into God, that we know and we praise God just for being God. As a show of hands, it's going to be a bit awkward on a CD, but as a show of hands, how many of you have had a perfect year? So nobody's had a perfect year. So as a show of hands, how many of you have had a troubled year? I'm going to put both hands over this one. Yeah. Okay. Things go wrong. We live in a sinful world. We live in the consequences of sin. But what God is asking us to remember is that he is still God in the good times. And it's okay. People find it easier to worship God when everything is going great. But God is still God, and he is still great when we see death in our families. God is still God when you're in the hospital and you find out that you've got test results that haven't gone the way that they should have, that you're hoping for. God is still God. And we should still worship him as the omnipotent one. We should still worship him as the person who is your provider. Does that mean it's easy? Far from it. It's never easy in those hard times. But God still meets with you, and he is still in control, even though you may be having hard times. Worship is such an amazing thing. I was reading as I was going through that we're called to praise the name of Jesus. We are called to praise the name of Jesus for the things he's done, for the differences he makes in our lives, for the creation. But to worship, that is a privilege. It's not something we're told we have to do. Worship is a privilege that is given to us by God. And we don't worship him because things are good. We need to start worshiping because God is God. And that is the be-all and end-all. I could end with that there. But you guys can come back up as well. We are going to have a time of worship. Okay, but what I'd like to read out for you is what happens when we worship. So let's go back to the book of Revelation, chapter 4, 9 to 11. So as we worship, this is what Revelation says happens. As we worship, whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay down their crowns and they cry, "You are worthy, O Lord God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Worship, as I've said, is more than the songs we sing. It's a direct connection with the throne room of God. As we worship, things happen in heaven. And as things happen in heaven, they're released through us. And we will see lives saved. We will see the sick healed. We will see what are hard situations become potentially more manageable situations. I'm not saying everything will be perfect, but God is God. What I'd like us to do, we are going to have a time of worship, as Lee mentioned. Before that, I would like us just to go back to where we started. Be still and know that I am God. Lord, I want to thank you that we have the privilege of worship. Lord, I want to thank you that your name is worthy to be praised. Lord, I thank you that in every situation that we go through, good or bad, you are God. And you desire our worship through these situations, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you teach us how to worship in the hard times as well as the good. Lord, I pray for those that may struggle with worship. Lord, I just pray that you break those chains, that they're free. Just to surrender everything wholly to you again. Lord, I thank you that nothing takes you by surprise. And I pray for that revelation, Lord God, in our lives, that you were with us always. Lord, I pray for an uprising of worshippers within this church, within this nation, that can walk around the structures that may be in place, and we can pray and we can worship you and we can see those walls fall as we did in Jericho. Lord, cause us to go deeper with you. Amen.